Welcome to the Tailwind Coaching Podcast, hosted on the Daily Grind Cycling Journal. Visit us on the web at tailwind-coaching.com or like us on Facebook at Tailwind Coaching. And now, your host, Coach Rob.
All right, welcome everybody. Another edition of the Tailwind Coaching Podcast. And I am tired today. It's been little over a week until the last podcast came out, where we tackled climbing part two. And this podcast, obviously, if you've read the title, will be the climbing podcast part three. So we will we'll tackle that in just a second. But first, a little housekeeping, a little bit of stuff that's going on. Number one, cyclocross time is just about here. Okay, first races here in the Northeast are kicking off with Nittany Cyclocross, Nittany Cross over in Trexlertown near the Velodrome. And that is, I believe, September 6th and 7th, if I remember correctly. And anyway, that is the start of the season. I have had my cyclocross training plan up for about a week now. That plan is a modular plan. Just like my previous plan, or my previous issues, that plan is about 6 weeks. It has 2 weeks of build style work in it, and 4 weeks of very specific cyclocross style work, for those of you who are interested in that plan. The cyclocross plan... excuse me, I'm a little bit dry in the throat after yelling on the group ride today. The cyclocross plan actually has a new format, which I'm introducing to my plans there, and that's the Sunday mock race format involved in that as well. That will give you race intensity, skills, and workouts based on what it would be like to be racing. So if you're not racing every weekend in cross season, but you still want a good workout, you still want the skills work, etc., etc., you've got that mock race going for you. Okay. Now again, I do recommend that my my cross plan be combined with my build plan, my build module. However, it can also be done as an individual plan, building on what you what information and what training you've already done. So don't feel that you really have to have that build plan to make this work. Obviously, it's much more efficient with that build module in front of it, but I do realize that a lot of you are running short of time. So consider picking up that cyclocross plan in my training plan download sections. It's only $25. I believe it's $25, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's only $25, and the workouts are, I guarantee the workouts will make you stronger and they will make you work. Okay, so that's what you need. Then go ahead over there and pick that up. Secondly, if you're on iTunes, please, again, I say this every podcast, and every podcast I get a few more, go ahead onto iTunes there and rate this podcast. Give it a thumbs up, give it a bunch of stars, give it whatever you do on iTunes there. I don't really remember off the top of my head right now. I haven't actually had anything more than a double espresso today, so I'm my brain's a little short of caffeine right now. And anyway, go ahead on to iTunes, rate this podcast. It helps me reach more and more people. And really, the more people that I can reach, the more motivation I have to continue giving this kind of information and giving it out. Remember, I don't get paid for this. And I just enjoy providing you guys with interesting information, interesting topics. Okay. Third thing, I have actually two slots available for coaching. One slot just actually opened up. I have two slots left for coaching for the fall months, and I will be getting my winter coaching stuff started soon. So if you have any interest in that, make sure you get a hold of me via email or Facebook or anything else. Again, emails, I do usually take a couple days at this point to get a hold of everybody and get back to you, but I do answer every email that I receive. If you don't receive an answer within like 3 or 4 days, go ahead and shoot me another one or try a different method. Sometimes I get everything caught up in the spam filter, and that that can be an issue at times. All right, CoachRobDC@gmail.com, the email address for that. And you can find me out on the web, tailwind-coaching.com. All right. All of that taken care of. I'm going to have a sip of water to calm my abused voice, and I'm going to get on to Climbing Podcast Part 3, How to Tackle All Those Hills That You've So Dreaded for So Long. All right, on to Part 3. Learn how to climb those hills and hit those types of climbs that are just kicking your ass. All right, quick review here. When we did the previous climbing podcast, the first one we talked about, which they are linked under this podcast and this post on my website on tailwind-coaching.com. they are linked there. You can find them also under the Tailwind Coaching Podcast tab on the website. But I'll link them under the post where this podcast is being played from, or if you're playing it from iTunes, go ahead over and check that out. The first climbing podcast, we talked about what makes a good climber. We talked about power to weight ratio. We talked about psychological toughness and the ability to suffer. We talked about the ability to switch which energy system you are using to produce power on a climb and switch and rotate muscle groups. Okay. We talked about some of the skills for a climber, muscular endurance, the zone 5 repeatability, standing drills, force, that kind of things. We talked about some climbing positions, both for your ass and for your hands. We talked about part 2. We talked about different kinds of gearing. We talked about the importance of leg speed, the importance of leg speed while standing. We also talked about flattening the terrain. One thing I neglected to mention in part 2, and that podcast was running a little bit longer, so it makes sense that I didn't, was breathing. And breathing fits in very well in this podcast for the reason you'll see soon. and breathing is all about rhythm, okay? And climbing, a lot of these kind of climbs are about rhythm. All right. So breathing, again, there is a post, there's actually multiple posts about breathing. I will link those in the podcast description on the website. Essentially, you want to be a belly breather with a nice open chest, breathing from your diaphragm and avoiding that kind of panting, you know, like a golden retriever panting kind of sensation. All right. Once you hit that point, you've gone way too far into the red zone, and see you later. Okay, you wave bye-bye like they do at the tour, and the moto moves right past you. And that's not where you want to be. If you're listening to this, that's obviously not where you want to be. All right, so breathing, important in getting a rhythm. You need to time your inhalation, exhalation very often with a pedal stroke, and that is what gives you that rhythm while you're climbing. All right, so that's a quick note on breathing. Again, take a look at the posts, which are going to be linked in the podcast description here, and you'll be able to find a little more information about that topic. So, on to the meat of today's climbing show. Types of climbs, how to tackle them, and what will make them better and or easier for you to succeed at them. Okay, now I'm going to refer to in this case, four different types of climbs, maybe five. The fifth type of climb is almost almost affects such a small minority of climbs that it's almost not worth it, but I will mention a little bit of it. now, let's start with the power climb or the power roller. All right, typically, these are climbs that you are going to see, and they're not even considered climbs. I wouldn't even consider them a climb. I consider them a roller or a kicker or something of that nature. Typically something that takes you less than 1 minute or so to traverse. All right? Those really power-based, strength-based kind of climbing efforts will tend to fit into this this category. Where do you need to train? All right, for one of these, now, let me back up 1 second. You're not going to notice that I'm not going to do any mileage when I'm talking about these climbs. I'm not even going to refer to mileage when talking about any of these climbs because mileage is so subjective. What typically needs to be looked at is the amount of time it takes you to summit or finish a climb. So we're going to go by time, not by mileage. You could consider going by category if you want to talk about the very, very longer climbs, but I'm not going to do that either. That is that's up for you, up to you, the listener, the reader, to figure out categories and things like that and where they fit in here, because everybody has a little bit different definition of categories for climbs and things like that. All right, so back to the power climb, or the power roller, as they're going to call it. Typically, what you need to excel at this kind of climbing or this kind of effort is a lot of zone 6 and zone 7 power, okay? You're talking about anaerobic power, neuromuscular power. Those energy systems are both very available under a minute. Once you hit a minute, you start to switch over to basically the anaerobic endurance side of it, and then after that, the VO2 max side of it. So in this case, you're really using a lot of short-term power. You could even call it, a sprint, although most people are not sprinting for a minute. That is a hell of a long sprint. Look at the guys, the professionals and the guys in the tour. They're not sprinting for a minute. They're sprinting for maybe 8 to 15 seconds at maximum. So moving on, zone 6, zone 7 level power, and the essential thing to remember when tackling these rollers, these power climbs, is to carry momentum through these climbs. All right, I've noticed this so many times with so many different riders, so many different cyclists, and it doesn't extend to just the everyday weekend kind of rider. I've seen this happen in races. In fact, in Giro di Cello, that's happened frequently in the road race, and in fact was the sole reason, but it is one of the main reasons why I was crashed out of the Giro di Cello. Thank you very much, little 14-year-old junior who decided he was going to try and bunny hop and ride around somebody at the same time and crashed into me. Thanks a lot, jerk. I got, thankfully, I got back to him at Freedom Tour by giving him a solid elbow in the ribs. Not really a dirty racer, folks, but you know what? When you try to invade a line and I'm on a line and I'm on a wheel, I'm not going to let you in there, first of all. And if I've got a history with you, you're going to get a little bit of extra enforcement in that effort. All right. So I'm not a dirty racer, but by and large, don't crash me out. And then afterwards, don't try to come and butt in on my line or my wheel. All right. Just a little tip for you. Not that I would ever do that to any of my listeners, unless you crashed me out previously. No, I'm just messing with you. Anyway, moving right along. Carrying momentum through the climbs. A big problem, especially with, in the racing circuits. Again, at Cello, we'd have guys, big guys, very strong sprinters that would power it up the small climbs, zone 6, zone 7 level efforts, and soft pedal or coast at the top of those little climbs. Are you kidding me? What the hell are you thinking? And if you're one of the ones out there who says, yeah, that's me, I get to the top of that climb as fast as I can, then I soft pedal and I coast. What the hell are you thinking? Now I sound like Dr. Phil. What the hell are you thinking? Moving right along from that. I'm not going to even touch that. holding momentum over the crest of these climbs is absolutely essential to attacking them and hitting them well, okay? Because they are anaerobic in nature, they provide a perfect interval. You are very easily able to roll these climbs. Now, what is rolling a climb? Well, if you've ever looked at my training plans or my high-intensity trainer workouts, there's one called the climbing power rollover. I had to think for a minute about that. It's gone through so many iterations, I had to think. The climbing power rollover, which is essentially a workout, a trainer workout, high-intensity trainer workout, which is designed to teach you how to attack a climb, be it a long or short one, raise your intensity as you come to the crest of that climb, and then roll the climb over. Now, rolling the climb over is very simply defined as this. When you hit the top of a climb, instead of doing what most of you do, Stop it. All right. Most of you are hitting the top of a climb. You're soft pedaling. The head goes down. Oh, thank God that's over. Don't do it. All right. You want to turn that. You want to work on that leg speed. Spin that gear that you're in. Spin it up. All right. And continue to shift up through the gears as you spin that gear up and down the backside of the climb. All right. Climbing, I'll say this right now, and I'll probably end up saying it again. Climbing is all about momentum. Climbing is about conservation of momentum. Okay. It's much harder to increase or create more momentum after you slow down than it is to maintain what you have. Okay. So rolling over short climbs, particularly these roller type climbs of less than a minute, is absolutely essential to both getting you over the next climb quickly and to, as we talked about in the last podcast, flattening the course. All right. Anyway, rolling over again, as you hit the crest of the climb, you don't drop your head. You don't start to soft pedal. You don't stop pedaling. You actually raise your leg speed. And as you raise that leg speed, you continue to shift up through the gears and push through the downslope or the false flat on the other side. Let me tell you, folks, this technique will drive other riders nuts because you may not be the strongest climber, but I'll be damned if you cannot really chase back on to a group of guys that are faster by using this technique. Yes, your legs are burning. Yes, your lungs are burning. Yes, you're trying like hell to get to the top of that climb. But give it an extra 15 to 20 seconds of increased power after you hit the top of that climb, and you will certainly see the difference. I guarantee that. Okay? If you ride with any really good rider or even a racer, an upper-level racer, a 1-2-3, or a pro, you will see them do this almost unconsciously every time. All right, and that is part of what makes them so fast, that they're conserving the momentum they've worked so hard for. All right, and again, these rollers type climbs, these short power stingers, these are very easy to roll, so it's a very easy way to get a feel for rolling a climb. All right, in terms of other high intensity trainer efforts that will help you out on these, the Berg Buster, the HIIT Berg Buster workout is an excellent one for shorter climbs. The Berg Buster, as you remember, some of you may remember, from Classics time, pays homage to the short, very steep cobbled bergs of Northern Europe, the Ardennes, if you will, and gives you workouts which are designed to help increase the power on those kinds of terrain. Additionally, any kind of sprint work, any kind of sprint intervals, actually the cyclocross plan will have a lot of short, steep, and sharp rollers or power climbs built into it for the reason that a lot of cyclocross contains those types of efforts. So, there you have it, the real short ones, less than a minute, the, as we'll call them, the power climbs. All right, next thing we'll take a look at, we're going to look at the shorts and the steeps and the ones that are probably one of the harder ones, actually, that are out there. All right. And we'll be back right after this. All right. To the shorts and the steeps, the less than 3 minute duration climbs. Also could be considered power climbs. I don't like to consider them a power climb because they don't rely on raw power to get you to the top. There is a certain paradigm or a certain part of the climb, which is VO2 max level effort or endurance type effort. So what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about climbs, again, less than 3 minutes, usually short climbs like that here in the United States, and usually also in Europe, tend to be fairly steep. When I mean steep, I'm talking above 10% grade. I'm talking double-digit gradients here, folks. Around myself here in New Jersey, we've got a couple of climbs that are short, steep, 3 to 4 minutes in length, and they are, some of them have an average grade of between 14 and 16%, okay? So there's plenty of places you can work on this. You could also consider short, steep portions of a longer climb as a short and steep climb in its own right. All right, you're only hitting that short, steep climb at a depleted state because you're in the middle of something that's longer and probably not quite as steep, probably a little shallower. And that gets into breaking the climb into parts, which I will go over really, really quickly before we end this session here. But the short, steep climb is it's fairly easy to attack, and it's easier to carry momentum through a short, steep climb than it is some of the longer ones. Not quite as easy as those rollers, but it is easier than the longer types, obviously. No real rhythm, and again, with the power climb or the power roller, there's no real rhythm necessary to complete these shorter climbs. A lot of these are just go all out, go as hard as you can, crest over the top, all right? And these climbs are actually quite, very safe, actually. Unless you are in really, really poor shape, there's very little chance that you are going to crack on one of these kind of climbs, all right? They are short enough that you really don't need a rhythm. You don't need to get into that breathing rhythm, that cadence rhythm, that tension rhythm, etc., etc., in order to get through them. And the other interesting thing about them, the length of these climbs makes them again, you're less likely to crack on one of these climbs because you're less likely to outrun your anaerobic capacity. All right. VO2 max type stuff tends to last 3 to 5 minutes. So in this case, you're talking zone 5, 6, and 7. VO2 max, anaerobic endurance, and very often you're going to start with zone 7, like a neuromuscular power type effort. All right. Again, these type of climbs are relatively easy to roll. If we want to talk about climbs that are easy to roll, rollers, power climbs are obviously the number one simplest climb to get out there and to roll. And these would be relatively easy to roll as well, only because you have a lot more energy available at the top of this climb than you would at a climb that's 8 or 9 minutes, or a climb that's even longer than that, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something of that nature. Okay. again, skills of value. The Berg Buster is actually very good. The hit Berg Buster is very good. The hit hit climbing power rollover is very good, again, for teaching you that rollover technique. I'm rolling over my tongue right now. Long day. What a long ride, man. Standing drills and force work and some power work is also the name of the game for getting over these kinds of climbs. All right. These kind of climbs, like I said, are very prevalent in the Northeast. Very hilly areas in the Appalachians, things like that. Out in the Rockies, places like that. Utah even has much longer climbs. The Northeast and the Eastern Seaboard tends to have these shorter, very sharp pitches. I said I wasn't going to talk about mileage, but these short, less than 3 minute climbs tend to be less than a mile in length. All right, they tend to be pretty short. All right, and pretty intense. I mean, you hit 5 or 6 of these, you're going to know you got yourself a pretty good workout there. But they're not so hard as they're going to drain you out for the rest of the ride. So, now talking about the power climb and the short and steep climb. Again, I mentioned that these can be considered portions of a longer climb. If you want to look at it this way, breaking a climb into parts, all right? And we're going to talk about we're talking about this now because the next two climbs we're going to hit are the longer climbs, the medium length and the really long ones, and this becomes prevalent here. Breaking a climb into parts is extremely important, and considering that you know and understand how to tackle these small climbs, these power climbs, and these short and steep climbs, it gives you extra ammunition for when you encounter that situation in the midst of a longer climb. All right, so for example, if you're on a 12-minute climb and you suddenly hit a steep portion, which will take you 2 minutes to complete, provided that you've actually, followed the advice given, and you've worked on those short, steep climbs, and those power climbs and those accelerations and your rollovers and things like that, you will find that steep section suddenly is not so hard anymore. Okay, I'm giving you a little anecdote here. I have a few roads around me which are exceptional for working on rollers and rollover work and working on those short, steep climbs. Now, using Strava, even though I'm not a huge fan of Strava, I do like it for watching and following my own personal improvement. And to be honest, I could give a shit if I have a KOM on something. Great, you got to the top of the climb faster than me. I could give a shit. All right, but what I do like to do with Strava is follow my own progress and see where I'm improving and where I'm falling off a little bit. Again, saying that I have a lot of those rollers and short, steep climbs, practicing on those, I've noticed a marked improvement on my longer climbing, all right? And this goes back again to the fact that we can break a climb into pieces, all right? If I can break a multi-pitch climb into a couple of short steeps and a couple of false flats, you can really work your way up those sharp, steep pitches, put some time in there, get a little recovery in those false flats, and then you can do it all over again. All right. In addition to that, the short, steep climbs, the rollers, teach you how to suffer. Again, one of the traits of a good climber is the ability to suffer. So if you are using these power climb rollovers or whatever, these rollers and the short, steep climbs, and you're working on those, you'll likely see an increased ability to suffer, and an increased ability to suffer on longer stuff as well, all right? And if you are able to take those long climbs and break them into parts, not only are you mentally able to handle the climbing much better, you are mentally able to handle the suffering. Well, geez, if I can just get to the top of this steep section, you know, I'll be able to have a little bit of rest. That gives your body the okay to go hard for another couple minutes, all right? Because you're telling yourself, once I hit the top of this steep pitch, I can soft pedal just for a couple strokes, or I can just roll it over and get some momentum back, and then I'll have a little bit to burn. Good, great, that works very nicely. And now suddenly you've tricked your mind into saying, I can do more because I'll have a moment's recovery. All right. It's not uncommon on many of the rides that I'm on to hear people go, all right, just get to the top, get to the top, get to the top, get to the top. No. No, you don't want to get to the top of the damn climb. You want to get to your next marker. You want to get to the next point in that climb where your brain says, all right, I got this little piece. Which one do I get next? How much further? I got to get this next one. And by continually moving the bar, you're able to suffer harder and longer. Okay, that's why it's important to break these climbs down. Now, some people break them down by, I need to get to that mailbox, I need to get to that pole, I like to break them down by pitch, by part of the climb, by time, things like that. All right, it's much easier for me. It depends on, really, on yourself. Some people like time, some people like the next mailbox, next phone pole, next tree, whatever. Some people like that. Some people like to break it down by pit. It all depends. Try them. See which one works out for you. All right. Now, off that tangent, now that we're off that little tangent, I want you to keep that in mind as we go into the medium and long climbs, which are obviously the hardest types of climbs and probably the ones that confound most cyclists. In fact, they're sure to confound most cyclists that I see. All right. We'll do that right after I catch myself another drink of water. Okay, back, hydrated, refreshed, feeling good, feeling ready to take on medium length climbs, climbs that are less than 10 minutes in length. What makes you successful on a medium length climb? Well, I'm going to make one comment: functional threshold power. Power to weight ratio. Those are the two most important things. All right. FTP is great. Let's measure it as power to weight ratio. The higher your power to weight ratio, the higher your threshold, the more successful you will be on these medium length climbs. The reason being these climbs less than 10 minutes in length in general, of course. And they may have, again, those shorter roller type efforts, those zone 6 and 7 efforts. They may have those steep pitch efforts of less than 3 minutes, 1 to 3 minutes. Okay. These climbs rely on your power to weight ratio and your threshold, your ability to produce power in zone 4. All right. Sometimes zone 5. Zone 5 energy production is typically defined as 3 to 8 minutes. A climb less than 8 minutes, you could probably easily do at VO2 max. More than 8 minutes, not very likely. All right. The medium length climb, 3 to 10 minutes in length, is pretty much impossible to attack and rely on your sprint power, your kick, or your anaerobic power to get over. You have to get into an aerobic kind of situation here. You're not going to be able to push anaerobically over a 10-minute climb. It's just not going to happen, folks. Physiologically, it's not going to happen. All right. So zone 5 and zone 4 predictably are the most critical zones that you need to work on. Raise that FTP, those 2x20s, that 2x20 Tuesday, those VO2 max efforts, even those zone 5 repeats or over-unders, whatever you want to call them, are extremely good for this kind of fitness building. All right. Anyway, most of the time on this climb is really spent between that zone 4, that zone 5. In fact, I would hazard a guess in saying you're in zone 5, zone 4 plus, excuse me, 203 to 106.7% of your functional threshold. All right, that's where I would reference most of your time there. Okay, you will use that zone 5 and that zone 6, interestingly enough, to accelerate over these short, steeper pitches, or to, for example, match an acceleration, to stay on a wheel, to cover an attack, things like that. All right, things of that nature where you're going to use and burn those zone 5, 6 matches. All right. These mid-length climbs, those 3 to 10 minute deals, they do require you to find a rhythm. You need to really find a rhythm in your breathing, a good breathing cadence that lets you get enough oxygen into your body and process that. And you need to find a good pedaling cadence and tension that allows your body to work efficiently. And you need to work in some kind of cadence and some kind of pattern to your muscle rotation. So, sitting to standing. Standing to sitting. Front of the saddle. Back of the saddle. Hands on the tops. Hands on the drops. Hands on the hoods. Etc., etc., etc. Switching around those energy production systems and those muscle groups will help you stay in that rhythm. Watch a really good climber and up, maybe an upper level racer, a 1-2-3 level racer, or watch the pros. Very often you will watch them. They get in the saddle, they get out of the saddle. They get out of the saddle, they get out of the saddle. They get back in, they're sitting down again. Someone that I love, I absolutely love. And let me clarify this. First of all, Emmanuel Sella. All right. First of all, fuck you for getting busted for doping. I don't like you for that. However, watching you in the Giro, I think it was 2008, actually, when he rode for CSF Navigare before it became CSF Colnago or Colnago Enox or whatever it is now. The Italian continental teams like that, they swap sponsors more than a high school teenager swaps girlfriends or whatever. But that's beside the point. I loved watching him in the Giro for the fact that he would ride when he was out on one of his long mountain raids on the way to taking the Malia Verde. He would ride seated. When his pedal revolutions would drop, he'd stand up for maybe a dozen pedal strokes, maybe 20 pedal strokes to rev it back up and sit himself back down. He was an absolute master of getting himself into a rhythm and staying in a rhythm on those long Italian passes. If you can ever look up those stages, I want to say stage 16, the Passo Fedaia or the Mortirolo, I can't remember exactly which one. I think it was 16. But watch him climbing in some of those stages, and you'll see exactly what I mean about getting into a rhythm. All right. Now, getting into a rhythm, you also need to get into the rhythm of breaking that climb into parts, which we already talked about. You can break it into thirds, you know, go easier at the bottom, go at threshold for this middle half or the middle third, and go at VO2 max level for the final third of the climb. I find that's a little bit difficult because sometimes you have pitch changes that sort of cross that third, you know, one third to two thirds and two thirds to the final third, etc. So I like to break it down into various pitches, you know, changing pitch climbs. I like to break into the different pitches. All right. Again, you want to roll the crest of that climb. Ideally, you are accelerating up the climb. You are not starting at zone 6 and suddenly dropping into zone 3 by the time you hit the top because you are tired. If you are, shame on you. You're doing it the wrong way. You need to go over and look at my high-intensity trainer, Climbing Power Rollover, which will teach you to do the opposite. You want a negative split on that climb. You want to get faster and stronger as the climb goes on. Easier said than done. I know a lot of you out there going, Jesus Christ, this guy, how's he going to tell me to do that? It's practice, folks. It's hard to do. I can tell you that. It took me a long, long time to do and to understand how to do that. But again, hit the crest of the climb, hit the top, the false flat, the descent on the other side, and roll it over. Your times and your riding buddies will be surprised when they suddenly see you appear in their rearview mirror, so to speak. After they may have beaten you to the top of the climb by 2 minutes. All right. Again, skills of value. You need to work on your functional threshold power. You need to work on your power to weight ratio. So that means no binge eating and cut back on the beer there, fatty. of course, the reason I say that is because I've been doing nothing but binge eating and drinking beer for the last week or so. Damn you people for bringing stuff into the office. A little punchy today. I wonder why. Anyway, back to the skills, VO2 max level work, threshold work. You want to look at my high-intensity trainer muscular extradurance workout, which will give you the muscular endurance of, you know, in spades to tackle these longer climbs. And, of course, the climbing power rollover is a really important one for you to understand. Now, we've done the short ones. We've done the short version. We've done the 1 minute to 3 minute climbs. We've done the 3 to 10 minute climbs. The only one left, be considered the long ones, the grinders, the greater than 10 minute climbs. And these could go all the way up to half an hour. Imagine that, going uphill for half an hour. In any case, we're going to tackle that in just a second. Long climbs, the grinders, the one that you dread. You go, you look at it on the ride with GPS elevation profile, and you go, shit. You mean we're actually going to do this? Yeah, we're actually going to do that. All right. what do you need to succeed in these long climbs? Well, honestly, most of those long climbs are going to be spent in the VO2 max zone. I'm sorry, they're not going to be spent in VO2 max. Most of those longer climbs are going to be spent in the threshold zone. So you're going to be finding a lot of time in that zone 4. And that's really where you want to focus most of your efforts, is that zone 4, that zone 4 level effort. Okay. You need to raise that functional threshold up. Again, just like the medium length climb, you need to raise that threshold up. Just like the medium length climb, you're going to use zone 4 and 5 most of the time. You're going to actually use less zone 5 than you think you will, because you simply just cannot, you simply cannot sustain it for a long time on these longer climbs. Interestingly enough, the zone 5 efforts that you will do most likely on these longer climbs will be 3 to 5 minutes in length. Where does that sound familiar? Well, that's actually the length of a solid VO2 max effort. Ah, so when you're doing your VO2 max efforts, think about doing 3 to 5 minutes of work in order to put them to use on a on a longer climb. All right. So that's why the VO2 max effort, 3 to 5 minutes, you're going to see a lot of it on these longer climbs. And you're going to use them to accelerate over pitches, cover attacks, make attacks, et cetera, et cetera. And that's why you need to work on that 3 to 5 minute power. Now, with that said, there is a distinct caveat to this. You do not want to hit zone 5 over and over and over again. All right. The more that you hit zone 5, the more that you burn matches on a climb like this, the higher likelihood of you cracking and suddenly pedaling squares and being the last one to the top of the climb. All right. So be very cognizant and be very calculated in how much zone 5 effort you put out on a climb that may be 20 minutes, 30 minutes. All right. You absolutely, absolutely have to be in a rhythm for a climb like this. A breathing rhythm, a cadence rhythm, a power rhythm. What do I mean by a power rhythm? You have to be able to get into that zone 4, zone 4 plus, take it up to that zone 5 a little bit, and be able to get back to that zone 4, zone 4 plus, and recover. All right? Recover at that zone 4 plus. Most people say, dude, I have to recover at threat. Yes, you have to recover at threshold. All right, because the minute you say, I have to recover, I'm going back to zone 3, you're off the back, you're done. Don't be that guy, all right? Don't be the guy that puts in a brutal, wicked attack, holds it for about 2 minutes, and then suddenly everybody's going past you, and you're going, what the hell, man? You have to get into that rhythm. And again, don't burn all your matches on a single climb, unless, of course, it's the last climb of the day, or it's the only climb in the route, all right? Again, get into that cadence rhythm, get into the power rhythm, get into the breathing rhythm. Change up your cadence and your muscle group selection. Slide to the front of the saddle, slide to the back of the saddle, stand up, sit down, etc., etc. All right? Dividing the climb into parts. Again, just like those shorter, medium-length climbs, those 3 to 10-minute deals divided into parts. For these kind of climbs, I'm not even going to tell you divide it into thirds. I'm not going to tell you to divide it into minutes. I'm going to tell you, divide it into pitches. Like I talked about, geez, I got to get to that next tree. I got to get to that next pole. In the case of a longer climb, you want to get to the top of the next pitch. All right. I can almost tell you that these climbs are not going to be constant gradient. They're not going to be 7% from, for 30 minutes straight to the top. They'll vary between 4% and 10% and 7% to 12%, all right? And then down to 4% again, and then up to 10%, and then down to 3%, and then maybe up to 7%, and then maybe 6%, maybe 8%. Get to the top of that pitch. Select an energy system, select a cadence, select a zone, select everything you need to get to the top of that pitch, all right? And the big part of this, again, is reading the road. I've done posts on that. If I remember this, I will... Well, I've got a lot to include in this post. If I remember to link that, I will link it. But be known that it is on that. It is on my blog there. You can take a look at it. You can read up on that and learn to read the road a little bit better. And that will help you into dividing the climb into parts. And again, dividing that climb into parts, particularly into pitches, is a psychological battle. It's a psychological win. Every time you get over that next little kicker, that next steep pitch, you suddenly won a little bit, all right? And that gives you a little bit of extra confidence, a little renewed capacity to continue and go a little harder, okay? everything that we talked about in the rollers, the power climbs, or the short and steep climbs applies here for when you hit those steeper sections. If you hit a steep section of 2 or 3 minutes in length, pull out that technique that you use for those short, steep climbs everywhere else. It really doesn't change. Except the fact that you may have to alter your energy production a little bit because you've been, toddling away on a 6 or 7% grade for maybe 10 minutes already. All right? So that's a very important thing. rolling over the top of the climb, you're going to be burned up and tired as hell when you hit the top of the climb. But if there's any time you want to roll over, it's at the top of a climb like this. And I will guarantee you that as you roll over the top of this climb and as you hit that false flat or you hit that descent, rolling over is actually going to be the most beneficial thing for your legs. Why? You've just climbed for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. Your legs are full of shit. All right, lactic acid and byproducts, waste products from those muscles working. And they're burning and they're hurting. And the best thing you can do is to spin that gear over the top, move the blood through those legs, and help to flush that crap out. Okay? And I guarantee you, rolling over the top of a really long climb feels amazing. It feels incredible. It feels so, so good. All right? On these long climbs, as I said, when the pitch gets real steep, the short and steep and the roller type effort discussion applies. That said, again, the caveat, avoid zone 6 if you can. Use it on those very steep pitches. Use it for surges like attacks or covering attacks or making attacks. And use it to roll over the crest of the climb. But try to stay out of zone 6. Once you hit zone 6, it becomes very hard to recover again at threshold. Take it from experience. Okay? It's the quickest way to crack on a long climb is to overuse your zone 6, overattack on that climb. All right? High-intensity trainer workouts, muscular extradurance, climbing power rollover. You can work on threshold work, those 2x20s. You can even go into 2x30s if you are a sick bastard. or if you're just somebody who has a lot of those long climbs, you're going to be doing probably 30-minute efforts anyway. And you can also work on your Zone 5 repeatability, your ability to go over threshold and recover threshold again and again and again. Those of you who are mad, you can do Zone 6 repeatability, where you instead of ramping it into VO2 max Zone 5, you can ramp your power up into Zone 6 for 30 seconds and then back down to threshold. It's a very hard workout. I've done them. I don't do them on the road. I typically do them on the trainer. When I do them on the road, I do them because I'm doing rollers. and those are those really, really short type efforts. Now, again, on the road, those Zone 6 repeatability efforts, they are hard. They suck. Okay? On the trainer, they are even worse. You will want to probably throw up next to you. So include a bucket. All right? So we've talked about short, really short. We've talked about short, steep. We've talked about medium length. We've talked about long. Let's talk about the beasts, the monsters, the super steep climbs. All right? If you are in the Northeast, I'm going to say a few names that should, at least if you are into the climbing world or you know anything about the Northeast, climbs that should strike terror into your heart. Okay? Mount Greylock, Massachusetts, long, steep climb. Mount Washington, forget about it unless you're going to race twice, race it one of the two times a year that they do the Mount Washington Auto Road Hill Climb. I believe it's about 6.8 miles, and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 12.5% average grade, with the final 500 meters at a staggering 22% gradient. 22% gradient. Okay? Think about that. That climb should strike terror into your heart. All right? Outside of Kingdom Trails, a lot of you are mountain bikers. Burke Mountain Toll Road. Another extremely steep climb, very, very difficult climb, okay? And the Hudson Valley, which I know very well, and northern New Jersey, which I know very well. Fiddler's Elbow in northern New Jersey, a very steep, very difficult climb, okay? High Point, a very steep, very difficult hill climb. There are a number of short, steep climbs in Pennsylvania near the Delaware River. I'm not even going to name them because they're very short. But in the Hudson Valley and in northern New Jersey, Breakneck Ridge, extremely, extremely steep and perhaps the steepest climb in the Hudson River Valley Basin. Cane Road, again, one of the steepest in the Hudson River Basin. I'm trying to think off the top of my head here. There's quite a number of other ones. There's a few climbs, Route 52 and up towards Sam's Point in the Schwangunk Ridge. Mountain Rest Road, east side out of New Paltz, is a fairly steep one. Moving north, Meads Mountain Road. Brutal, brutal climb outside, just north of Woodstock, New York. Ohio Mountain Road, another very brutal climb, just south of Woodstock in that case, north of the Ashokan Reservoir. The Devil's Kitchen, Platte Clove, actually the focal point of the third stage of the Tour of the Catskills. The focal point of the Tour de Trump when in 1986, it was famously reported that European professionals who had scoffed at the steepness of American climbing realized absolutely how fucking retarded our, and I hope that doesn't offend anybody, but it is true, how absolutely stupid our road engineers are that they build roads up the side of a goddamn mountain. Platte Clove, the Devil's Kitchen, about 1.2 miles in length to 1.6 miles in length, depending on how you measure it. The climb proper averages anywhere between 13 and 16%. I've died 1,000 deaths on that climb, and it sucks. Okay. Talking about those kind of long, steep, or just brutally steep climbs. All right. Climbs like that are purely survival. All right. The technique that people use to get over those climbs varies so incredibly much from person to person. In my case, riding a low gear of 39.27, getting over those climbs involves getting yourself tucked into the drops, standing up out of the saddle, and just grinding the shit out of those climbs. All right, there's absolutely no powering over them. A few of the other riders that I've ridden with that conquer those climbs using a compact and a 28 will just get into a rhythm and stay seated. Some of the really steeper pitches, you cannot stay seated. Almost universally, if you're on these really steep climbs, you're going to be in the drops or seated in the drops or on the tops with your upper body leaned very far forward to try and keep the front wheel on the ground. All right, keep that in mind. On those really steep, really long climbs, let me tell you something. I've been there. I've gotten off and taken a rest. I've gotten off and walked occasionally. Devil's Kitchen particularly, there's a hairpin or a 90-degree bend on that climb about two-thirds of the way up, if I remember correctly. If you take the inside of that bend, you better be prepared to see 22-23% gradient. I didn't make it. The first time I made that, I read that I didn't make it. And it's, I had to walk it. All right. Using a 39.27, you know what? I'm not upset by that. I made the entire rest of the climb, in that gearing, but I just could not make that 23%, curve. So those really steep ones, you have to just survive. And that basically just means finding your own rhythm in your own way and grinding it out. Because that's about the only way you're really going to survive those kind of climbs. They are really, really, really brutal climbs. But a lot of fun and a real joy once you summit them and you've accomplished something of that nature. All right. So with all that said, we've gone over so many things in these three podcasts. If you have questions for me on the content of these three podcasts, you can post them to the Tailwind Coaching Facebook page, or you can email them to me, coachrobdc@gmail.com, or you can even reply to the bottom of this the post that the podcast is on. You can start a discussion there. All right. So again, going over those climbs, the short steeps, you're using power. The very short, the power climbs, you're using your power to get over. The short steeps, you're using your 5, 6, and 7 zones to get over. Your 3 to 10 minute climbs, you're predominantly looking at zone 4 and 5, a little bit of 6. For those really long climbs, you're talking your zone 4, zone 4+, occasionally zone 5 efforts. For the brutally steep ones, guys, be prepared to suffer like hell. You're going to be grinding it out in whatever you can grind it out. All right? Again, there's a lot of information on this. And don't think that just because you've listened to 3 hours of podcasts, you're suddenly going to go out and you're going to be an ace climber. All right? This stuff takes practice. It takes time to develop. I went from riding flatlands all the time to being thrown into the hills and the mountains and learning all these the hard way. So take it from me. Learn something that is not the hard way. Get the information into your head and start using it. I guarantee if you start using it, your group rides will notice and they'll be wondering, geez, man, what have you been doing? And you can point them to the podcast and you can say, hey, I learned how to climb. And you can do it too. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sitting through all three of these. I know that some of these have run longer than they typically do. And, you know, there's a lot of information to cover, and I'm glad you stuck with me through them. I want you to ride safe. I want you to ride happy. I want you to get strong, climb well, and overall, I just want you to be well. I want you to keep the rubber side up and keep the Don't keep the rubber side up. There we go again. The brain's fried from the climbing ride we did this morning. Keep the rubber side down. Keep the shiny side up. And again, I am Coach Rob of tailwind-coaching.com, and I will be talking to you real soon. In fact, we'll be talking to you next time from the Cowbell Cast as the Tailwind Coaching Podcast gets ready for cyclocross season. One more race on the calendar, and then it's time to get down, get dirty, and get drinking some beer. Talk to you very soon, everybody.